Those that are staying with me, turn to the book of Revelation. Your Bible to the last chapter. I'm not sure how many times I've taught Revelation, but we're going to finish this one up today. Lord willing, if we make it that far.
You say this about the last time?
Maybe I'll teach it again someday. Well, it's a very interesting book. Let's read, how about just the first 10 verses? I'll read the first, you read the second, and so on. And try to keep together. Don't try to rush or try to lead or just, hey, hi, praise the Lord. It looks good in here, doesn't it? Man, we crowded out a little bit, man. Knock out another wall. Chapter 22, the book of Revelation, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb.
In the midst of the street, and on either side of the river, was there is living life, which bears 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were of the healing of the nations.
And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him.
And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads.
And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God and the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done.
Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book.
And I, John, saw these things and remember them. And when I had heard and seen,
and then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God.
And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for so many blessings. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you that we have it in our hands, and it's modern day. We can have it in so many different ways and so cheaply, and we can study it so well. We thank you for what you teach us. I pray, Lord, you'd bless this teaching today and help us to rejoice in the things that you teach us.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to put our trust in you and not in anything else that we can see. Give us a freedom and an ease today. Give us a pleasure in studying your word. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Actually, some people would try to divide chapters 21 and 22. I don't. I think they're both continuation. Chapter 22 is simply a continuation of chapter 21 in describing this great, beautiful city. Now, we had the city described to us, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles high. How many mansions think you could put in that? No problem. No problem. That is one big city. And here we have with new heavens and a new earth, and here's this city coming down, and he's described the foundations and the walls and the gates to it, and all of the blessings that are there, and none of the curse and things like that are there. It's all on the outside of it. Can't get into it. And so here he shows, and he begins, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. There's the water of life. It's in the building. It's in the city. You're drinking the water of life every time you drink, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So he's described this huge city, and you got this road down the middle of it, and a river, and the tree of life on either side. Wow. interesting to me. It says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits. That's an interesting tree. You know, most things just bear one manner of fruit. Now, I know there's some that you can put together and different plants can grow out of the same tree. But that's very unusual. And here it is, 12 manner of fruits. Every month you got some. There's no winter there. There's no time when it's not prosperous and beautiful and growing. And yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Well, now look, here's this in the Bible. How many thousands of years did people not know about how to use plants? You know what they're doing right now? They're on television all the time why this certain fish or this came from this certain root or something like that. And it helps us, it heals us, and it takes care of us. Well, here this tree, the tree of life that we saw, you remember, first seeing it? Genesis. And God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden because he didn't want them to eat of the tree of life. They would have lived forever in their sin. Death would not have come to them. So death takes away the problem of our sin, just keep on going. Sooner or later, we know we're going to die and we won't be sinning when we die. So he said the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. I just think that's an interesting thing. Just like the life of the flesh is in the blood. Yeah. Amen. How many years did they not know that? People, doctors. Most of the people, soldiers who died up through the Civil War died of infection. They didn't know Madame Curie's discovery. They didn't know about microbes and diseases and stuff like that. They didn't know what caused it or how it passed. And a surgeon with bloody hands might go to somebody else and spread whatever he was doing. Now then, they gave me some dangerous soap. They're going to slit my throat tomorrow. And so they gave me this dangerous soap, and they said, don't get it in your eyes. Don't get it in your ears. Don't get it on your genitals. This is bad soap, man. I was supposed to do that twice, you know. This vascular surgeon really doesn't want to get an infection, evidently. But, you know, they didn't know about things like that. You and I have lived in a generation good night. They've opened up my heart. They've slit me here from there and put a pacemaker in me. If I die, my heart will still keep pumping. It's amazing. They're not going to be able to check my pulse and see if I'm dead or not because I got that pacemaker going there, boom, 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 boom. It's pretty nice that I'm able to get up here and teach you a little bit. Now, a tree of life, man, wonderful things. But look at verse 3. There shall be no more curse. Oh, are you blessed? You are blessed because you've been forgiven. You are blessed because God has given you His Word. You can trust it. You know your sins are forgiven. You know that God has said, I'm going to go make a place for you. And He didn't say a cabin in the corner of glory land. He said, I'm going to go make a mansion.
Amen.
There are no cabins. And by the way, somebody had gone, what's all the space? All these millions of people. We got, 9 billion people on the earth today, supposedly. And about that many have died since Adam's time. So about 18 billion people. Well, you reckon you could get 18 billion people in this city we've been describing? I don't have a very big house. Some of you have real big houses. But by the way, you could take a house for feet. That's quite a bit. And that would be a real nice place to live in. And you give everybody an acre. Would you like an acre for a garden and for flowers or for whatever? You got plenty of room. Go out and invite somebody else to come in. Go out and tell somebody else, hey, there's room for you. Amen. There's room at the cross Amen. Of Jesus for any all and all the sinners that will ever come. And this is a great invitation chapter. this chapter right here. It just blessed me as I read it and thought about it. Verse 3, there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. No more curse. You were cursed when you were born. You know that? You were cursed with the sin of Adam. You don't have to teach your child sin. You don't have to teach them selfishness. You got to teach them to not be selfish. You got to teach them to not hurt somebody else. You got to teach them to think about somebody else. This school teacher was fired just this last week, I heard on the news, and I don't know that she was a good school teacher or whatever, but she was frustrated with this boy, and she whipped him with the cord of the computer, and so they fired her. That's unacceptable. And I heard this woman, they had a picture of her, and she's looking in. She was talking about the children. She says, they're not supposed to discipline them like that. I don't discipline my children. I thought, that's exactly where the problem is. You don't discipline your children, so the police are going to have to when they get grown.
That's right.
Bless your hearts. Discipline. Why God gave them to you this small? You're bigger than them. Be meaner than them. Amen or oh me. That was for free. It's not even in the book here. No more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in his servants shall serve him. Verse 4. They shall see his face. Wow. His name shall be in their foreheads. Let me tell you what. When God saved your soul, he made you a son or a daughter.
Amen.
Did you have a good father in this life? If you had a good father, you might understand a little bit about how God is.
Yeah.
God is a great father. Now, I know some of you had a sorry jerk for a father, and maybe no better for a mother. Now, that's pitiful. But that's not what you're going to have here.
That's right.
Man, God is a great father. Look what all God has already done for you, even when you didn't like him. Don't want to have anything to do with him. You think you know more about life than God who gave you life. It's amazing. Amazing. Okay, it says verse 4, they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. Have you ever been an insomniac and stayed up at night when things are boring? It's very boring. When you have read and you're tired of reading and you've watched all the TV that you want to see forever, and you walked the streets and messed with the dogs that other people haven't taken care of. Praise the Lord, no night there.
Amen.
No night there. You're not going to have to sleep. You get so tired, some of you go to sleep while I'm preaching. But his name shall be in their foreheads. Be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Do you realize that you saved people when God saved you out of your sin and out of your humanity? When God became Lord of your life, he changed you to where you're going to reign with God forever. You know, life, it has a lot of pleasures. I enjoy life. I have to say I really do. I enjoy life. And life with all of its pleasures, you don't have any pleasure that you didn't get through life. Thought about that? Now, man in the casket, he's not worried about sex. He's not worried about money. He's not worried about bills. He's not worried about health. He's not worried about anything. But if you're living, you've got all these things. Well, I'm going to go to Hawaii. My next vacation is Hawaii. Well, you're enjoying that. You're spending a lot of money to get to go to Hawaii and see a volcano erupt and a hurricane strike. All these things we do. I would go to see the Grand Canyon again tomorrow if I didn't have to go so far. Have to drive there, fly there, or whatever. going to reign forever. God's going to give you light. Wonderful thing.
Amen.
Look at verse 4. No, it wasn't what I would have wanted. Verse 6. And he saith unto me, these things are faithful and true.
Amen.
Can you trust God?
Amen.
Yes.
He's given you a very, very strange book. This book is wild. But you know, it's a very interesting book. And once you learn the message of it, it's a message of hope.
Yeah.
It's a message of power. It's a message of eternity. It's a message where all of the problems you've got now, there'll be nothing. You won't have those kind of problems anymore. And praise God. He says, these sayings are faithful and true. Do you trust the Bible? Now, I know an awful lot of Christians. I've been in contact over the years with a lot of Christians. And a lot of us have a lot of reservations about God. You better be real careful about that. You better set what you think about God from the Word.
Right.
Not from what you think is right or wrong or fair or what God ought to do or what the government ought to do. God is God. And if you make a God in your mind, like a God that has no hell, a God that has no hate, a God that does everything the way you like it done, you've made an idol.
Right.
You're not talking about the God of the Bible.
That's right.
If you talk about the God of the Bible, well, he's pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
You better get on his side or else you're in trouble.
That's right.
And he's not just going to put up with everybody. And he does spank his own children and he kills his enemies.
Right.
Wow. And you know what it says? These sayings are faithful and true. Have you come to that position?
Amen.
The Bible is faithful and true. Can you trust the Bible even when it says what you don't like for it to say?
Amen.
Southern Baptist here about 15, 20 years ago, they voted. They voted that women didn't have to obey their husbands. That's the truth.
Wow.
That's Texas Baptist. They voted. Well, the Bible says, wives, submit yourself to your husband. Obey your husband. I believe that's true. Even in modern America, I believe that's true.
Amen.
You want to have a good marriage? Well, don't have two bosses. Amen? Or me. Well, I don't like that part of the Bible. I think that's old-fashioned. No, it's not. It's good common sense. But there's a lot of other things like that, you see. These things are true and faithful. Once you get it in your head that if the Bible is right, I am going to follow it. Verlene and I, neither one, we were both the babies of the family. We did not know how to raise kids. None of us had much experience with any babies or little children or anything like that. We were the babies. So all of a sudden, Eddie pops up. Don't know how he got there, but he popped up, and man, we are washing diapers. We couldn't afford cloth diapers, and they didn't have many cloth. I mean, we couldn't afford paper diapers, and they didn't have many paper diapers in those days, and they were too expensive for a young serviceman to be. When we had Eddie and Billy, they're just 13 months apart, we had 10 dozen cloth diapers.
Oh.
10 dozen cloth diapers, and we kept them busy. And you're hanging them out on the line. We didn't have a dryer. You hung them out there, and in the sandstorms, the sand came into those. A lot of interesting things happened in life. You know what we decided? I just gotten saved. I got saved. Eddie was about a year old when I got saved, and Billy was just 2 months from arriving. He was the plane that was in the hangar. They hadn't brought him out on the flight line yet. But at any rate, we didn't know what we were doing. I'd just gotten saved, and I'd read where the Bible was the Word of God. You ought to be able to trust it. Now, I did not know what all it said. I had not read all that it said. I did not believe all that it said. I had to learn a lot of things. But we decided, why don't we just read the Bible and see what it says about rearing children? Amen. Best advice we ever got.
Yeah.
The Bible tells you what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's why God gave you these little ones. You can control them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just have to be more adult than them.
Yes. Yeah.
We got a problem with children or raising children. People with no discipline are raising children with no discipline. Well, I'm sorry. I just saw that on TV and it hit me. These sayings are faithful and true. Now, he that keepeth the sayings of this book, the prophecy of this book, he said, behold, I come quickly. Now, what about the people that keep the sayings of this, of the prophecy of this book? He said, he's blessed. You know, I sure like being blessed a whole lot better than being cursed. Don't you? Don't you? Wow, bless your heart. If you got health and you're 80 years old, you're blessed. You're right. Man, you were born an American? I'd say that being blessed. You're a Texan? Even more blessed. Some of you weren't born in Texas, but you got here as quick as you could. Amen or oh me? He said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, there's another blessing. Blessed is the one that keeps the sayings of this book.
Amen.
Well, it might be you ought to read it sometime.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's a blessing that can come to you if you read this book and keep the sayings of this book. And you know, that that is applying from John or from the Holy Spirit through John to the book of Revelation, but it's for the whole word of God.
That's right. Yeah.
And throughout the word of God, it tells you, he that keeps my words.
Amen.
And you need to be an obedient child, and you need to repent, and you need to walk carefully around God. He that keepeth the sayings of the prophet of this book is blessed. And he said, I come quickly. You say, well, man, it's been 2,000 years since this book was written. What's quickly? One day, as is out of 1,000 years with the Lord. He's only been 2 days. And you're thinking, do you get everything done? My wife would have a list of things that she wanted her husband to do around the house. You ever have a honey-do list? And if I didn't get to it in 2 or 3 days, she was already upset. What are you doing? You're going fishing? And it's just been a day, honey. Just been a day. Well, we can say that about the Lord. Just been a couple of days. He doesn't look at time the way you look at time.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. I like blessing. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophets of this book. Verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Wow. This is one of the most interesting parts of the Bible. Right here in the very last chapter.
Yeah.
What I'm just now reading right there. He tells you that this was one of the angels that showed him something about the curses up in the book of Revelation, where the vials were poured out. And this was the same angel. He could recognize him. We're not all going to just be looking the same. Aren't you thankful? You'll probably have characteristics where you can be recognized. But at any rate, this was one of the seven angels that had come to him and had showed him these things. And when he showed it to him, he fell down to worship. Now, this is the Apostle John. He's got to be 90-something years old. He's on the Isle of Patmos because of the Word of God, because of his testimony. You know what he did in the first chapter of Revelation? He fell down and worshiped Jesus. He saw Jesus in his glory. He said, wow. He just dumbstruck. Boom. He hit the floor. This angel must have looked enough like Jesus that he fell down to worship. He knew he didn't worship anybody but God. Do you know that? You don't worship anybody but God.
Amen.
Okay. Then saith he unto me, verse 9, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant. Listen to this verse. To me, it's one of the most interesting verses about the future. And of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Who is this angel? Well, it's not a specially created being. It's one of the prophets. It might be Moses, or it might be Elijah. It might be Jeremiah, Isaiah. I don't know. It might have been Peter. He died earlier. Might have been Peter there talking to John out there. Who knows? One of your fellow servants? Wow. And of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. You're going to be fantastic one day. You may look in the mirror and say, I'm ugly as homemade soap. God was not fair to me giving me a face like this. And some of you are fat and some of you are skinny. And the skinny ones don't like being skinny and the fat ones don't like being fat. And the bald ones don't like being bald. And the old ones don't like being old. Hang on. It's not going to be long. You're going to look like Jesus, man. I mean, you are going to look like this one that came to him and brought this message to him. Now, that's about the best part of the book. I didn't get one amen on that. But for me, that's just about the best part of this book. I'm going to be like that one day. This old body that's getting worn out and rugged and they're going to slit my throat tomorrow. I always was afraid of a knife. When I was going to school, I wasn't worried about getting shot. I was worried about getting stabbed where I grew up. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren. Of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Oh. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. There are a lot of people trying to study the book of Revelation, and a whole lot of people giving it the very wrong connotation. And your young preachers that are being trained in these seminaries and colleges, they're being trained not to believe what the book says, but make the book not say what it says.
Yeah.
Bless your hearts. This is a beautiful book that ought to lift your spirit, ought to make you think. He's talking about you. You're blessed. This is your future. This is your home.
Amen.
And remember what Jesus said? Just a verse that just is tremendous to me. In John 14, when he's telling about, I'm going away. I'm building a place for you, and I'm going to come get you. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you.
Yes.
If it were not so, I would have told you. Why don't you read what God said as a message, a letter to you? He wants you to know some things. And some things that can change your life. Some things that can lift your spirits. The future is absolutely bright.
Amen.
Your future is not what you think it is now.
Right.
Looky here. Just look at what we've got said right here. I am of thy brothers. I am of the saved. I'm one of the prophets. I'm a fellow servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm with those that trust Christ. Wow. You and I could be there. And if I die recently in the next few years or so and get ahead of you, it might be me. Yeah. I'm of that crowd.
That's right.
I belong with the crowd of those that believe the Word of God.
Amen.
I belong with the crowd of those that have been saved by grace. I belong with a crowd of those that say, yeah, those are my people.
That's right.
That's my group. That's my people. Those are my blessing. Those are my family. Look what you could look like. And probably will. I think you're going to be very happy with the way you look when we get to heaven. Now, he said in verse 10, seal not the sayings of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. He said, I come quickly. He says, the time is at hand. You know, all it is just in a moment's time. When you see the rapture in chapter 4, verse 1, he just says, come up hither. And there we go. All the people that are alive and saved at that time, the church, there we go. Are going to be transformed. Someone asked me a while back, and I know I've said it a time or two, but she said, well, my husband passed away. What is he doing now? I said, I don't know. You know, I answer a lot of questions that way. I don't know. It's a good answer. You don't have to know everything. I don't know. She said, well, you're the old man around here. You're supposed to know things. I know what the Word of God says, but it doesn't tell me. It doesn't tell me what He's doing up there. Can they look down on you? Are they praying for you right now? I have no clue. I don't think so. I think it might give them a pain seeing what you're going through and the problems on this old world. And we don't want any pain in heaven, and there's going to be no night there, no curse there, no sorrow there, no tears there. Praise the Lord. Wonderful thing to me. Well, seal not the sayings of the prophet of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, this next little verse, verse 11. You and I can right now walk into a prison, talk to a murderer, and tell him, if you'll come to Jesus, He'll forgive your sin, He'll save your soul, and He'll change your life. Look at verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. The gospel has an end. The preaching of the gospel will come to an end. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, and to give to every man according as his work shall be. There's going to come an end to this. The gospel's not going to go on forever. You are a blessed, especially chosen, blessed people that God has made up for a bride for His Son.
Amen.
And the gospel has gone out all around the world to catch that bride. And we're asking people to repent. We're asking them to just call upon God. We're asking them to be sorry for what they've done. Right. Asking them to believe what God says. How can you possibly believe evolution? Now I know all the educated people say they believe it nearly. Amazing, amazing. It takes 15 times as much faith to believe evolution as it does to believe the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Bless your heart. That's simple. I believe that. I don't believe this thing happened by accident. I don't believe these two eyes, you know, they're a little old now, you know, but I don't think they came about by accident.
That's right.
I don't believe any human was born with just one eye in the head and then we finally got two because we figured out it was better. It was safer. No, I don't think that. I believe God in His infinite wisdom, in the tremendous, He's got a brain. When we've been there a million years, I don't think we'll understand God. I don't think we'll ever understand God. Okay. The time is at hand, and he that is unjust, he'll stay unjust. He's filthy, he'll stay filthy. He's righteous, let him be righteous still. He that's holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. And look at verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's just about saying I'm everything. Got an awful lot of words in that English dictionary I got. 400,000. Probably maybe more than that, maybe a million. That's just English. Well, what can you make up? Well, they keep making up new words all the time. Some of them are as stupid as I've ever heard. I'm an old man, and I understand how old men used to think. I couldn't think that way when I was a young man. But now I think like an old man. I wonder why. But you know what? I hear some things. Have you ever listened to some of this punk rock and got the words? You know, if you don't hear the words, you'd be, well, if you just lack a rhythm. That's all they got. They got a rhythm and they got an activity and they're jumping up and down and screaming. I saw a thing on that. I almost can't stand it, but every once in a while I get curious and I look and listen. And my mind, since I'm about half deaf, I have the writing on the screen, you know, on my television. So I can understand what they're saying. And I had this one place, they had to have 20,000 people. And here's this group, young people, bunch of instruments up on the platform, you know. And they're just really going to beat 60. Saying the stupidest things I have ever seen. Stupid. Some of it's filthy. Some of it's just gross. But it's all stupid. And they're all, yeah, 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 yeah. You idiot. Well, I better keep going. Look at verse 14. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, that doesn't get into the city. All this garbage, it's outside. Not ever going to have to mess with it again.
Amen.
Now, some people want to say this is eternity, that chapter 22 would be eternity. And some of them believe that we're going to populate the universe. Not us necessarily, we're the bride. But the nations that come through the tribulation and they're the sheep nations that go out into eternity and so on and so forth. That's sort of like the Mormons, why they want so many wives and so many children, because they're going to be conquering all these different planets that are out there. But I don't know about that. I don't believe that. Okay. I, Jesus, verse 16, have sent mine angel to testify unto these things, unto you these things in the churches. All right, you gave this for the church. An awful lot of churches don't touch it. They won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. They don't believe it. Now, how much of the Bible are you going to believe? Do you have places you don't believe? Well, better be careful about that. Now, he said, I am the root and the offspring of David. Well, he's the root. He was David's God. And David loved God. He was a big sinner, but he was also a big, big repenter. And he was a man big in faith. And he said, I am the root and the offspring. Jesus Christ comes out of the tribe of Judah. And he comes out of the city of David. Comes out of the lineage of David. So I'm the root and I'm the offspring of David. And he said, I'm also the bright morning star. That's what you see just before daylight comes up. That one bright star that's still hanging up on the horizon. Okay. Now notice verse 17. We're getting down to the end of the book. Here's his invitation. It's still there. He's telling you what's going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. But here's his invitation. And the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. And the bride, that's the church. Say, come.
Amen.
Aren't we saying that today?
Yes, we are.
I've been doing that for 60 years, 61 years. My major time in the 61 years was in evangelism. Trying to win people to Christ. Trying to bring somebody to repent of their sins and take it. Well, the Spirit says, come. That's the Holy Spirit saying, come. The bride says, come. What about, don't you invite people? Don't you pray for people to be saved? Don't you want people to come to the house of God and hear the Word of God so the Spirit of God can touch them and change their lives? Yes, yes. And that's the very last thing right here in this book. Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
What an invitation. Praise God, that is a beautiful invitation. I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book. Now here's a warning. Mm-hmm. You remember Adam and Eve and Satan in Genesis? Satan denied the word of God. And Eve believed him. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things. Now what did Eve do? She added. She added. Now it may have been that Adam gave the instructions to her, not God directly. And maybe Adam is like, you tell your kid, don't you even touch that tree. You can't eat that tree, don't you even touch that tree. She might have been quoting Adam. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. Well, did she get plagued? Oh, yeah. About 900 years of plaguing. If any man shall take away, verse 19, from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. Wow. You know what? That's a pretty stiff sentence. Don't mess with the Word of God.
That's right.
We got preachers all over the world changing the Word of God right now, this moment. They change it. Well, it doesn't mean what you think it means. In the Greek or in the Hebrew or whatever, yeah. It says so. I know more K'iche Indian than you know Greek. Hacha Uchwetzla, that's how is your face today. If any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy, a book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. Wow. Don't mess with God's word. Be real careful how you treat the word of God, even if you don't like what you think it says. You might all just hold back a little reserve and say, yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah, that's right.
I really don't like it. Oh, there's some things in here I don't like. But I'm not going to say they're not of God.
Amen.
I'm not going to say I've got a better way.
Amen.
I'm not going to say I've got a better religion. No. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. There it is again.
Amen.
Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Wow.
Amen.
Old Paul, every time he wrote a letter, he had to say grace and peace. And yeah. You know what I can wish for you? The best I can wish for you? That the grace of God would be yours.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how that is. Sometimes it comes in mysterious ways. But if it's the grace of God, then you're blessed by it.
Yeah.
Even if you have to suffer a little bit because of it. But the grace of God, man, that's what you want. You want God's forgiveness. You want God's peace. You want God's grace.
Amen.
Amen.
And you want to keep on telling people to come.
Yes.
As long as we're down here, as long as we've still got life, we still need to be inviting people, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. At the very last chapter of the whole book, God's telling you, come.
Yeah.
You ought to come. Well, I finished the book of Revelation one more time. May not ever finish it again, but I made it up this time. God bless you.
I'm back in 10 years. Now that is a real statement of faith.
Hey, before
the
it's so good to see
good
you.
Good to see you. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Tell your mama I love her.
I will.
Talk to her before all day.